This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Careless, but not criminal. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Marcy Norton, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka on this Wednesday, July 6th. Glad you could join us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
The head of the FBI is not recommending charges against Hillary Clinton for her email scandal, but contradicted much of what she's been saying publicly about it.
On the campaign trail, Republican Donald Trump reacts to the FBI's announcement, and President Obama campaigns for Mrs. Clinton.
Tensions are high in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where two police officers reportedly killed a man selling music outside a convenience store.
And a new survey finds retirement is making people more miserable than ever.
What's happening is that the percentage of people who say they're very satisfied has dropped off significantly since 1998, and the people who say they're not at all satisfied or only just moderately satisfied is going up. So people basically are far less satisfied with their retirement than they ever have been before, and this is data going back to 1998.
Market Watch reporter Katie Hill on the issues with retirement. She's here in about 20 minutes. FBI Director James Comey says his office will not recommend charges against Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton for mishandling classified information while she was Secretary of State. He read a 15-minute statement at FBI headquarters yesterday, but never took questions from reporters.
Although we did not find clear evidence that Secretary Clinton or her colleagues intended to violate laws governing the handling of classified information, there is evidence that they were extremely careless in their handling of very sensitive, highly classified information.
According to the FBI, 110 of the approximately 30,000 emails Mrs. Clinton provided for the investigation contained information considered classified when they were sent. Another 2,000 or so emails were deemed classified after being sent.
Any reasonable person in Secretary Clinton's position or in the position of those with whom she was corresponding about those matters should have known that an unclassified system was no place for that conversation.
The FBI found no evidence that hostile actors successfully broke into Mrs. Clinton's emails, but couldn't rule it out either, given that the email accounts of some of her associates were hacked. Mr. Comey said actions like Mrs. Clinton's generally prompt charges if there is evidence that someone intentionally mishandled information, but he didn't find that evidence. Good piece, by the way, today in the Washington Post, if you want to read more about what she said versus what Mr. Comey said he found. The title of the piece is called How the FBI Director Systematically Dismantled Hillary Clinton's Email Defense. Well, the FBI's announcement provided great material on the campaign trail, where Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump blasted the decision to not pursue criminal charges against Mrs. Clinton.
We're talking about the safety of our people. The laws are very explicit. Stupidity is not a reason that you're going to be innocent, okay? It's not a reason.
He was campaigning last evening in Raleigh, North Carolina, which is a battleground state.
Like a criminal with a guilty conscience, Clinton had her lawyers delete, destroy, and wipe away forever. Except I still say there are geniuses that can find them.
He again attacked Mrs. Clinton as crooked while putting her husband, former President Bill Clinton, and Attorney General Loretta Lynch on trial for their roles in the email scandal. The FBI concluded its investigation, you'll recall, under something of a cloud since Mr. Clinton met last week with Ms. Lynch on her plane. The most glaring of Mr. Trump's attacks last evening came when he lobbed the unfounded accusation that Mr. Clinton was, quote, bribing Ms. Lynch. In their first joint appearance on the campaign trail, President Obama delivered a rousing endorsement of presumptive Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton.
I'm here today because I believe in Hillary Clinton. And I want you to help elect her to be the next president of the United States of America. That's why I'm here.
At a rally in Charlotte, North Carolina yesterday, he hoped his rebounding popularity would help energize the campaign of Mrs. Clinton.
It means so much to me personally to have the president's support in this campaign. After all, he knows a thing or two about winning elections. Take it from me.
Mr. Obama's high praise for Mrs. Clinton, by the way, came just hours after the FBI sharply criticized her handling of classified emails while she served as his Secretary of State. On that note, by the way, the Daily Caller wrote a story that read, quote, "For the first time in U.S. history, a sitting American president campaigned with a presidential candidate who was the subject of an FBI investigation." It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Give your employees the power to do their best work with new, powerfully performing Dell Latitude business class laptops and 2-in-1s. Now with Windows 10, the fastest, smoothest, most secure Windows ever. Your team can reduce downtime by 50% and boost productivity with 4 times faster performance and 3 times more battery life. Learn more at Dell.com/radio. That's Dell.com/radio. Everyone knows that business is all about numbers. Consider the numbers the state of Michigan can offer your business, like 10, being in the top 10 states for lowest corporate business income tax, or 2,000, the number of burdensome regulations Michigan has eliminated in the last 5 years, and 6, Michigan's rank for best entrepreneurial climates, which all adds up to the one state that has all that and more, Michigan. Go to MichiganBusiness.org to learn more. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday. Is there a Sarah Palin or Dan Quayle type that will emerge in the coming days as another surprise pick for a running mate? The 4th of July weekend marked just not only a national holiday, but the arrival of a quadrennial spectacle. And guess the vice presidential pick. Wall Street Journal Washington Bureau Chief Jerry Seib has 5 possible goals Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump could try to achieve with the selections they make prior to the national conventions later this month. Jerry, how do you see it?
Well, it's all guesswork at this point because we're in that season in which obviously there are a few weeks to go until each candidate, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, pick their running mate, and the season in which everybody gets to have a short list of their own liking and names are being floated, you know, in some cases because they're seriously being considered, and in other cases just because the campaigns are trying to please various people by suggesting that certain people are being seriously considered. So it's hard to know, but the point I try to make in a piece in today's journal is that one thing you can be sure of is that there are some strategic calculations that go into this. What do you want to accomplish with a vice presidential pick? Do you want to play to your party's base and make them happy and excited? Do you want to use a pick to win a key state? Do you want to use a pick to try to improve your chances with a key demographic sector of the country? Do you want to show that you're going to shake things up, or do you want to play it safe and pick somebody who, even if not exciting or strategically helpful in other ways, makes you as the candidate comfortable and makes everybody else confident that this person could be president if necessary?
Any of those 5 points, Jerry, proven calculations?
No, I think one of the things that is striking about this is how all over the lot candidates and nominees have been, and how rarely it turns out the way people thought. You know, for example, I think John McCain thought he was going to show that he was going to shake up the system by picking Sarah Palin in 2008, and I think that backfired in many ways and didn't have the effect hoped for. And, you know, I think that the history of picking nominees who can win key states is probably equally checkered. I think the one that actually tends to be the most common choice, kind of choice, and the one that probably works best is just picking somebody the nominee is comfortable with. I mean, you know, Bill Clinton decided he was comfortable with Al Gore in 1992. That turned out to be a great combination. They were alike in many ways, different in just enough ways. Yes, Bill Clinton won Tennessee. Democrats lost it over time anyway, but the point was that was a team that sold pretty well to the American public. I think that probably is the approach that, if you're going to generalize, works the best over time.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal Washington Bureau Chief Jerry Seib. His piece is called "The Strategic Thinking Behind Trump and Clinton VP Picks." So those 5 points you made before about say, playing to the base or winning a key state, the demographic, shaking things up, playing it safe. Which of those, say, is most valuable to a Clinton or Trump?
Well, I think that they both have problems with the base, and whether they choose to try to address it with this pick or in some other way, they can't skip it. I mean, the Hillary Clinton problem with the base of the Democratic Party is the liberals who make up a lot of that base are much excited about Bernie Sanders than they were about her. She needs to do not probably one thing, but multiple things to address that. One of the things people discuss is picking a running mate who could do that. Elizabeth Warren is the obvious name that people mention in that category. Maybe Tom Perez, the Labor Secretary, also a favorite among liberals. And Donald Trump has this quite similar parallel problem with the conservative base of the Republican Party. They don't trust him. They don't think he's one of them. You could see him picking somebody like Indiana Governor Mike Pence, somebody he talked with over the past weekend about this very thing as a running mate, because he would definitely please the conservative base, the ideological conservative and the social conservative base of the Republican Party. So if knowing that they each have problems there, that would be a compelling thing for each of them to use a vice presidential pick to try to address.
Thanks, Jerry. It's Wall Street Journal Washington Bureau Chief Jerry Seib. 20 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Marcy Norton is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, police in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, fatally shot a black father of five who they say was selling CDs outside a convenience store. Protests broke out in the city after the release of cell phone video showing the confrontation. Police say officers responded to a call from someone who said 37-year-old Alton Sterling had threatened him with a gun. The officers are seen on the video holding Sterling on the ground and firing their weapons at him. The victim's sister, Mignon Chambers, says she wants answers.
I really want to know more about what happened, about the whole situation, because my brother didn't deserve it. He didn't deserve it at all. Not one bit.
Sterling died from multiple gunshot wounds. Investigators are trying to figure out how the incident escalated. President Obama appeared at a Clinton campaign rally in Charleston, North Carolina yesterday, his first appearance on the campaign trail. He voiced his unwavering support for Clinton and praised the job she did as Secretary of State. Clinton shared the love, praising the job Obama has done as president.
I don't think he gets the credit he deserves for saving our economy.
Neither the president or Clinton mentioned the FBI report on its probe of Clinton's use of a private email server while she led the State Department. It found Clinton was extremely careless, but the agency did not recommend she face any criminal charges. A woman is currently leading the field of candidates vying to become Britain's next prime minister. Conservative politician and Home Secretary Theresa May won the first round of voting. If she wins, May would be Britain's second female leader, the other being the Iron Lady, Margaret Thatcher. Current Prime Minister David Cameron announced he would resign after Britain voted last month to leave the European Union. And if you've got a hankering for a little white lightning, take a trip out to Salisbury, Pennsylvania. A legally operating moonshine distillery has opened there. Tall Pines Distillery bills itself as the first legal moonshine distillery in the county since Prohibition.
Oh, man.
That's some hard stuff.
Yes. Yes. Mason jars or no?
No, they're in bottles. They're not doing the old school mason jars. I know. It's not the same.
Can you really have it in something that's not a mason jar?
You have to bring your own mason jar, I guess.
B-Y-O-M-J.
Right.
Thanks, Marcy. 23 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. Here's something a little disheartening. You might not enjoy retirement nearly as much as you think you will. A new study says more retirees than ever say they are, quote, not at all satisfied with retirement. More from MarketWatch reporter Katie Hill. Katie, what's happening here?
What's happening is that the percentage of people who say they're very satisfied has dropped off significantly since 1998, and the people who say they're not at all satisfied or only just moderately satisfied is going up. So people basically are far less satisfied with their retirement than they ever have been before, and this is data going back to 1998.
Wow. I mean, the statistics weren't even like remotely within the margin of error, right? They were blown away. It was like a 31% unsatisfied to 40% or something like that.
Right. Okay, so the number of people who, number of retirees who say their retirement is, quote, very satisfying, it dropped from more than 60% in 1998 to less than half now. And then the people who said, I do not like retirement at all, for the first time has climbed to more than 1 in 10 retirees who say their retirement is not at all satisfying for them.
Goodness. And any reason why here? I mean, I assume it's connected to money, but I wouldn't know.
So the authors themselves said, hey, we didn't look at the why. But I got a bunch of other experts who, you know, gerontologists and people who say, hey, what's going on here? One guy said, you know, it's probably a lot of it's financial. I mean, people used to retire with a pension and they, you know, that gave them a steady stream of income above Social Security. Now those are really drying up. I mean, I think the proportion of salaried workers who now get a traditional pension fell from 38% to 20% from 1980 to 2008. So you can see there's just been a huge decline. So I think that the money thing is a big reason here. The other thing I thought was interesting is this woman who runs a huge retirement center told me a lot of people have raised their expectations about retirement considerably. So if the boomers are starting to retire, they expect a lot more out of retirement than, you know, their grandparents did or even their parents did. And so that's kind of what's going on here, too.
Interesting. Meaning what? They expected to stay busy or travel the world instead of sitting
travel.
Home
they want to. So a lot of times they want like these great flexible jobs. You know, they just have a lot higher expectations of what they'll do and see and become in retirement. You know, this is a new phase of life for them, not retirement, you know, and I think that's really reflected in these numbers.
Wow. Instead, you're wearing the same pants all the time and eating ramen noodles. Just like,
right. Yeah. And you know what? Golf every day, not as fun as you might think.
You know, what'll be interesting to study is years from now, post-recession, you know, were lessons learned on socking money away and the impact of kind of the mandatory 401k enrollment.
I know. We can only hope that really does change that. Because, right, once you have the money to do those things, it is fun, right? When you can just travel the world. Sure, that sounds great. Who doesn't want to do that?
Thanks, Katie. Market Watch reporter Katie Hill from New York. It is 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Need a website? Why not do it yourself with Wix.com? No matter what business you're in, Wix.com has something for you. Used by more than 84 million people worldwide, Wix.com makes it easy to get your website live today. You need to get the word out about your business. It all starts with a stunning website. With hundreds of designer-made, customizable templates to choose from and the drag-and-drop editor, there is no coding needed. You don't need to be a programmer or designer to create something beautiful. You can do it yourself with Wix.com. Wix.com empowers business owners to create their own professional websites every day. When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy. And that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy and free. Go to Wix.com to create your own website today. The result is stunning.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for spending time with us. It is Wednesday, July 6. Gordon Deal with Marcy Norton, who's filling in for Jennifer Koshenka today. Some of our top stories and headlines: FBI not recommending charges against Hillary Clinton for her email scandal, but calls her extremely careless. Her top aide admits Mrs. Clinton actually burned copies of her daily schedule while Secretary of State, preventing investigators from discovering who she met with. Protests after a fatal police shooting in Baton Rouge. Jaguars running back Denard Robinson found asleep at the wheel as his car was sinking into a retention pond in Jacksonville. No winner last night, so the Mega Millions drawing for Friday, at least $500 million. Time now for a business update. And it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. Make Michigan your number one choice for business. Of the many ways Donald Trump has scrambled the 2016 campaign, it's his position on trade that has presented one of the most unexpected challenges for his rival, Hillary Clinton. David Nakamura at the Washington Post says Mr. Trump has bucked Republican orthodoxy and powerful business interests, such as the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, in an appeal to blue-collar Republicans that helped propel him to victory in the GOP primaries. David, give us a brief campaign history.
Well, Trump's made the trade message, anti-trade message, really a centerpiece of his campaign, along with immigration, and he's really hammered it home at many, many stops. Last week, he gave a big speech in Pittsburgh on Tuesday, and you know, this is a state that has a large industrial base and has been, concerned about the impact of these large trade deals. And so it's kind of scrambled the typical dynamics, because you have the leading Republican sort of sounding a message that's very much against, big business and the message of the Chamber of Commerce, for example. And of course, you have a president, President Obama, who's talking about big trade deals in Asia and even in Europe. And so we've seen with Brexit and other areas of the world, these deals are coming under great scrutiny. And so Trump's really hammering that point home, and that's making it more difficult for someone like Hillary Clinton, who's trying to sort of rally unions and typical blue-collar workers who've traditionally gone Democratic, but now have sort of competing messages, both appealing to sort of that base.
Yeah. All right. So explain, too, how this anti-trade message has resonated with unions, complicating things. You touched on a little bit, but I think you said, like, some of the large unions have pledged their support for Mrs. Clinton, but some of the locals, for example, are seem confused.
They have, because, so of course, Secretary Clinton has some endorsements from the leading unions, including the AFL-CIO, but, what's interesting is she just went through a primary campaign where Bernie Sanders was attacking her from the left on trade, and, that made her move left. She, if people remember, this big Asia-Pacific trade deal, the TPP, that President Obama's been pushing with 12 different nations along the Pacific Rim. Secretary Clinton, as Secretary of State, was a chief champion of that, and went around Asia talking about how great it was, but then has now since renounced it, says she no longer supports it in its current form, which has frustrated the White House a bit. But that, that left her vulnerable to Sanders, and now Trump's in there trying to appeal, union by union, especially in these swing states, with this message that he has. And so, so some of the unions we talked to said, look, we're for Clinton, but we understand that Trump's, sounding a similar message that we appreciate, really, even if we don't support him overall. And so, the leadership of these unions have endorsed, in many respects, have endorsed Clinton, but I think the rank and file is the question, and how much enthusiasm, ground efforts she can, motivate with these workers, and as well as campaign contribution is the important question for her.
Mm. We're speaking with David Nakamura, White House correspondent at The Washington Post. His piece is called "Trump's Anti-Trade Rhetoric Rattles the Campaign Message of Clinton and Unions." All right, so at this point, do messages get more clearer for undecided voters to sink their teeth into as we approach the conventions? Will we see changes or clarity?
No, yes, absolutely. I think what people are saying is, look, we're going to have some unions that haven't even endorsed between either candidate, including the Teamsters, are saying, look, we want to see what's in the platforms, both at the Republican and Democratic national conventions at the end of the month. That will become clear, not just on trade, but on other aspects, of areas that concern workers and blue collar workers, minimum wage, other areas that, the Democrats are going to continue to think they have an advantage. So that's where you're going to see Clinton, I think, really press the case. Trump has been attacking her, though, on her past support, not just for this Obama trade deal, but also, of course, her husband, Bill Clinton, signed into law NAFTA, as people remember, the North American Free Trade Agreement with Canada and Mexico, that unions still talk poorly of. Obama and Hillary in 2008 both renounced that deal. And so Trump has been using that sort of to try to tie Clinton closer to these big trade deals. So to get, the point is, of course, we'll see what happens at the conventions, how much both parties talk about not just trade, but other, sort of working class issues.
Thanks, David. David Nakamura at The Washington Post. It's 20 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Reminder, by the way, that we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter with the username at This Morning Show. If you like a little cynicism and sarcasm, you can follow me directly at Gordon Deal. Glad you could find some time for us on this Wednesday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, we all know that sometimes you just gotta go, but if you're feeling the urge in the Hamptons this weekend, make sure you steer clear of Christy Brinkley's house. Erica Remkes is a mother of three who was swimming near Brinkley's $30 million mansion over the holiday weekend. Unable to find a bathroom, Remkes decided to relieve herself on the rocks near the supermodel's home. Brinkley responded by showering the woman with water from her garden hose. Hmm. Remkes later told the New York Post that she was on public property and that she hadn't even started going yet when Brinkley hosed her down. Brinkley explained the situation in an Instagram post, writing, kidding. I know it's Independence Day, but that does not mean free to pee in front of my guests and me at my fireworks gathering. Adding that, maybe the trespasser should celebrate Depends Day.
Very good. Yeah. Christy Brinkley.
And she went on and on. It was a huge post by her.
Oh.
She had a couple other zingers in there as well. It was very, very well written. I'm very impressed by Christy Brinkley's ability to come back that way.
I'm not sure it would be... I don't know. It couldn't be any harder for me to love her more.
Right. Yeah, exactly. As if she didn't have enough going for her already, right?
I mean, I have loved her since I first saw her.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Christy Brinkley, Elle McPherson.
Okay.
And Cindy Crawford.
There you go.
As the all-timers for me. That's the absolute all-time beauties. So if you wouldn't mind, if you could just continue to do any Christy Brinkley-related stories during the week, so just so I can search Google Images.
Yes.
That would be great.
That sounds like a plan as far as I'm concerned. I certainly can't disagree with that.
But how about that woman's defense? I hadn't even started to go yet.
Right. I hadn't started to go, and I was on public property. None of that makes it any better, being on public property, really, or again, sort of out in the public there in front of everybody.
Yeah, or perhaps it was, I hadn't even started to go yet.
Yeah.
Maybe it was that.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
And Summer Gordon is prime time for visiting our nation's zoos, a great way to educate ourselves and our children about animals, of course, but you might want to think twice before you believe everything you read about the creatures you're observing. A Los Angeles comedian named Jeff Wazowski placed several false animal signs near animal enclosures at a local zoo with not at all true factoids, such as George Washington was actually 9 koalas stacked together, and that meerkats can control electronics with their minds. Also, you know, all barn owls think that one line in the Friends theme song is "I'll be there for you." Wazowski posted photos of his prank on Facebook, which has generated a lot of buzz, both positive and a little bit of negative as well.
That is hilarious.
Yeah,
I
think it was pretty good and a great way to sort of generate a little buzz about yourself.
Yeah.
You know, didn't really do anybody any harm. I'm sure he didn't break anything or steal anything.
Right.
So, you know, I think that was pretty cool.
I went with the family to Philadelphia Zoo several weeks ago. It was like kids had a day off or something like that.
That's a great zoo.
It is a great zoo. And I was reading the signs, but I would deliberately read the signs when other like small children were around.
Yeah.
But I would fake read the signs.
Right.
So I would say something like, "Oh, this is the monkey cage. Monkeys are known to snatch 3-year-old children from their parents." Like that's what I would read. You know, and the little kids would look at me like, "But does." I'm like, no, I'm just kidding, before the tears started.
So you are the East Coast version. You're the East Coast version of this guy.
Right. I'm the audible editing guy when reading those things. I give like 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Men, if you're like me, you appreciate the feeling of a clean, smooth shave from a quality blade. The sort of shave that cuts clean without the burn. So why are you messing around with generic razors that cost $32 for an 8-pack when you can shave with Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades for half the price? And if saving money and a clean shave isn't incentive enough, Harry's will give you their starter set, complete with a razor, 3 of their world-famous blades, and shaving cream for just $15. And shipping is always free. We'll also give you $5 off your first order. Our way of saying thank you for trying us. How are we able to save you all this money and still give you the best shave you'll ever enjoy? By owning the factory that manufactures them. That's how. So go to harrys.com right now and enter code 4000 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 4000.
It's 8 minutes now before the hour on This Morning. Marcy Norton is back. She has more of America's First News.
Gordon, likely GOP presidential nominee Donald Trump wasted no time slamming his opponent Hillary Clinton after the FBI released the results of its investigation into Clinton's use of a private email server during her time as Secretary of State. Campaigning in Raleigh, North Carolina, Trump said the decision not to file criminal charges against Clinton was a tragedy and said basically that the fix was in.
The system is rigged, but we're still happy to be together, right? It's totally rigged.
Trump also made remarks some say seem to praise former Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein. At that same rally, Trump said Hussein was a bad guy, but that he did a good job of killing terrorists. Trump has previously said the world would be, quote, 100% better if dictators like Hussein and Libya's Muammar Gaddafi were still in power. Meantime, Hillary Clinton may be gearing up to hit back at Trump. She's headed to Atlantic City today, the site of some of Trump's biggest corporate projects. Reports say Clinton plans to draw attention to Trump's casino bankruptcies and to argue that he doesn't have the chops to set national economic policy. South African Olympic athlete and double amputee Oscar Pistorius has learned his fate after his conviction for the murder of his girlfriend.
The sentence that I imposed on the accused for the murder, dolus eventualis, of the deceased, that is Riva Steenkamp, is 6 years imprisonment.
That's the South African judge who opted for the 6-year sentence instead of the 15-year minimum sentence required by South African law. The judge cited remorse and the likelihood Pistorius could be rehabilitated for her decision to issue a reduced sentence. Pistorius claimed he mistakenly shot Riva Steenkamp, thinking she was a burglar. Prosecutors say he intentionally killed her because of an argument. And if you're one of those millions of people probably who didn't win last night's Mega Millions drawing, listen up. There's a new high-tech way to play in New York. It's an instant scratch-off game that lets users use their mobile phones. You scan a barcode and then touch a graphic to reveal your prize.
You know, if you were to win that, though, on your phone, like, I'd be afraid to turn it off or anything. Right,
right.
I'd be
right.
Like, get out of my way! Everybody move!
Right, you accidentally clear your screen or, you know,
right. No! Thank you, Marcy. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. On Sunday, baseball collector Zach Hampel attended the Atlanta Braves-Miami Marlins game at Fort Bragg in North Carolina, the first professional contest to be played at an active military base. However, it was illegal. If you're unfamiliar with Mr. Hampel, here's what you need to know. As BleacherReport.com says, he goes around the country chasing baseballs, right? He snagged Alex Rodriguez's 3,000th hit, which was a home run. The $5 million temporary stadium at Fort Bragg sat 12,500 people. It's unclear how Mr. Hampel got in, but he did manage to catch 11 balls. But he caught grief on social media. One woman tweeted, "It's supposed to be Department of Defense employees only. Didn't even let MLB employees in. He's a civilian. Shouldn't be there. Got home run ball." Another woman on Twitter said, quote, "My son is stationed there and couldn't get a ticket. Not even one, much less for family. Somehow at Zach Hampel did." Mr. Hampel eventually issued an apology, saying he was giving away all 11 balls and donated an $1,100 check to amvets.org. That'll do it for this hour. For Marcy Norton, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.